It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. My host, Matt Slick. I just hope that you'll have a good show and that you enjoy listening. May the Lord bless you greatly. Hey, if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Now, got something to kind of announce here a little bit. Summer months are normally pretty lean for most ministries, and the CARM ministry is no exception. So in order to meet our financial obligations this month, we're offering our three online schools at a really big discount. They're normally $75, but if you are interested in checking them out, you can get them for $49.95, just under $5, $50 there, $49.95. And that'll be through August 17th. And that's the opportunity, the window when it'll be at a significant discount. You can sign up. All you got to do. Now, this is going to be something this is the first time we're doing this. So check this out. All you got to do is go on your phone and type in 50700. You put in the number like you're going to dial a phone number. Just put in 5700, 50700, 5700, and then text the word schools. And what will happen is you will receive a link, and it'll take you right to the place on CARM on the website in order to be able to check things out. And that's what we're asking, that you do that. You can also just go directly to carm.org/schools, and that'll also get you there. But if you do it on your phone, just text to the number 5700, 50700, and the word schools, and you can check it out. So, you know, we really do need your help. This has been a very dry a season here, and a lot of things have happened. A lot of things are going on. So we really do need to keep the radio show on the air and stuff like that. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and you've thought about supporting us before, you can check it out by doing that. And also on that same page that you'll go to at 50700, you'll also see at the bottom there, we have a link there for recurring donations. We ask $10 a month if you're so inclined. That's what really helps us develop the budget for that. And if you do sign up for $10 a month, we'll also give you the schools at that price. We'll just sign you up for them. We'll skip them to you. So I hope that helps. Just type in 50700 or 50700 on your phone with the word schools and follow the prompts to sign up. If you want to give me a call, folks, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Why don't we just get on the phone here to Sydney from Raleigh, North Carolina. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
By God's grace, hanging in there, man. How are you doing?
Good. First time calling. I just got a quick question. Just a question about just theory. I am battling with the use of credit. You know, I don't know if I should use the system of credit to make my life more convenient, or if I should just, you know, be patient, wait on the Lord, and everything that I need, he will provide in due time. Per se, a house at this moment is what I'm really dealing with.
Wow. Well, there are certain principles that we want to adhere to. Having made a lot of financial mistakes in my life and looking back and reading scripture, if I could do things over again, the only thing I would try and do better would be to not go into credit use at all, except for a house.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you got to do something for a house. And that's just the mm-hmm. way that is. Now, you might do an exception for a car because you got to drive. You got to get to work. But other than those two things, I really can't see justifying you know, using credit in any way. It's a form of usury. It can become oppressive, and it just drags you back constantly. And in fact, I graduated from seminary in 1991, took out school loans in order to finish seminary, and we're still paying them off. And
okay,
you know,
it's just
I would do things differently. I really would.
Right.
Now, a house I could see doing that for, because that's That's a situation. A car, maybe, but I would even try and save up money if possible, get a junker in the meantime, and get something better. But
that's what happened to me, is that I was just living in my means, battling if I wanted to use credit to get a car. Lo and behold, you know, money just started coming in, streams just started coming in. We were able to buy something that was, well above what my expectation was, but just buy it cash out. So now I started thinking that, well, maybe if I just wait, you know, my time, my season is going to come and all things going to be provided to me, so I don't need to necessarily get into being a borrower.
Right. It's best if you can
avoid
it.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's best if you can avoid it. It really is. And I have so many regrets. When you're young and stupid, I certainly went through that phase. I think I finished the young part decades ago, but the stupid part, I don't know about. I think I'm still struggling with that one.
So still trickles in.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, we're working on things. My wife and I are trying to figure out things on how to financially make ends meet. And we're realizing how much, you know, credit in the past, and you got to get a car, you know, you got to do things. We get used vehicles, and, you know, we're trying to be very frugal with our money. In fact, I can tell you this. I mean, I know what it's like to be broke when you get a $15 check for the ministry in, and you use how much you use for gas and how much for diapers, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and that's life. That happens. And survive that. But at any rate, stay away from credit if you can.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time. I love your ministry. You show patience that I wish for. I wish I could be patient as Matt Smith sometimes. But you know, just keep on doing what you're doing. There's people that do appreciate you.
Well, good. I'm smiling because I'm hoping my wife's hearing you say that, because I know she's going, so do you live with them? Yeah, that's a, you know, because I get so hyper-focused that I sometimes do get impatient. But with the callers, I really want to hear them and try and minister to them as best I can. So I get a lot of areas to work on.
All right. Well, there's people that are listening to you, and we do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Sydney.
All right, man. You have a great day. God bless.
You too. All right. Well, that was Sydney from Raleigh. I guess that's North Carolina. If you want to give me a call, we have 5 large open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And I'm thinking about talking about something I talked to somebody else about today, just to mess people up, because I like doing that. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I was going to just say this again. The financial needs of CARM now are there because of the very dry summer months. And in order to meet our financial obligations this month, what we're doing is we're offering 3 online schools. And normally they're $75, but you can have them for $49.95. If you're interested in doing that, you can get some very valuable teaching material that you can go through at your own pace. But you can also help support us, because we really do need it this summer. And all you got to do is just type in your phone, 50700. Just text to that number the word schools, plural, S-C-O. Excuse me. How about that? Misspelled schools. S-C-H-O-O-L-S. And they can check it out. And also at the bottom of that page, the link will take you to eventually is, if you have $10 a month that you could spare for us, that would be a great thing, because we'll give you the schools if you do that as well. New signups for $10 or more, we'll give you the schools as well. And you have plenty of information there. There really is a lot. And I'll be working on some new schools as well. One of them is going to be on biblical interpretation. I'm going to do one on some other religious systems and things like that. Maybe some stuff on postmodernism. But there you go. Hey, so why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. All right, so I had a meeting today. We got no callers, so whenever there's a blank time, what I'll do is just start teaching on something. And I'll kick it out of that. There we go. And What I'm going to do is go to a verse. I've talked about this on the radio here every now and then, and I was sharing this with somebody today, so I think I'll do it again for fun. This is really an interesting place of Scripture, and it's Matthew 13, and it's about the tares and the wheat. And the enemy sows tares, that's weeds that look like wheat, and sows them in with the wheat. In verse 28, he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Do you want us to go and then gather them up?" But he said, "No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barn." So that's Matthew 13:30. So what Jesus is saying here is the first ones at the time of the harvest, the first ones gathered are the tares, the unbelievers. Now, if you go down just about 10 verses later, Jesus interprets his parable. In verse 39, "And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." Now, some people think it's the good who are taken out of Satan's kingdom because we're going to be raptured out. Is that what Jesus is teaching? The Son will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Who's taken out of his kingdom? The wicked. And he will throw them into the furnace of fire. Now, is this the millennium period? I don't know, because, as some people think it's the millennium, he says at the end of the age. Now, that's what he says. At the end of the age is when this is going to happen. So let me show you some more stuff, because this is related to that. And this is in Matthew 24. Excuse me. And let's get to this verse. He says, this is verse 37. "For the coming of the Son of Man will just be like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. There'll be two men in the field. One is taken, one is left." Now here's the question. Who are the ones taken? And I've gone over this before with people, trying to show them that the ones who are taken are not the good, but the wicked. Because that's what the text says. And a lot of people are surprised by that. If you go to Luke 27, "They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." The ones who were taken in Matthew 24 are the ones eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And the one destroyed in Luke 17 are the ones who are eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Who are the ones taken? The wicked. Now hold on, and I'll continue with this after the break. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Turn that music down. Go on. Here he goes. All right. Let me finish up on this, what I was talking about with Matthew 24 and Luke 17. And what we have here is a concept that's not taught from many pulpits. And the concept deals with this age and the age to come. This age and the age to come. There's two ages. And the Bible tells us very clearly, in this age, blasphemy will not be forgiven in this age or the age to come. and in the age to come we have eternal life. Now, I could read the references, but I'm just giving the summary. We have marriage in this age, and there's present evil in this present age. And in this age, we will receive 100 times reward. And there's rulers of this age. Satan is the god of this age or this world, and there's the wisdom of this age. But in the age to come, the blasphemy won't be forgiven. We receive eternal life. There's no marriage in the age to come. And the power and superiority of God is existing not only now, but in that age to come. All right, so what's interesting is what happens at the end of this age. Well, without getting too much into it, let me read some stuff here. At the end of the age, the wicked are gathered. And that's just what I read. Because Jesus said in Matthew 39 and 40, where he was interpreting the parable of the wheat and the tares, what he said was, gather them at the end of the age. And at the end of the age is when they're burned. That's what he says. Gather them at the end of the age. That's when the harvest is. So the wicked are gathered at the end of the age. The judgment of the wicked occurs at the end of the age. The harvest is at the end of the age. And Jesus' return, as another set of scriptures, is also at the end of the age. And it says the elect are gathered as well at the end of the age. That's Matthew 24. I got all this stuff written down. Now, what's interesting is that there are some relationships between phrases. I'm not going to get into it now. I've got callers coming in. But interesting relationships between the phrases day of the Lord and last trumpet and after the tribulation. And there are some really interesting things because we can make a very strong case that the rapture happens after the tribulation, as Jesus says. Jesus came out of his temple and was going out of the temple, was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings at him. And he said, do you see all these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, not one stone will be left which is upon another. And they then ask him, what would be the signs in the coming of your coming and the end of the age? That's what they ask him. And he then gives them the answer. And he goes on, talks about various things that occur. And in verses 29 and 31, excuse me, 20 through 31, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, etc. Then the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. And he'll send forth his angels and gather his elect. Now, there's only one gathering, not two. Only one gathering of the believers, not two. You don't find two in Scripture, just one. This stuff is really interesting, and I was sharing it with someone today in the basics. And from Matthew 13:30, allow both to go together till the end of the age. I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares. In Matthew 24, Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and took them all away. And Luke says, the flood came and destroyed them all. Therefore, two men will be in the field, one is taken, one is left. And they asked Jesus, where are they taken? And he answers the question, where the body is, the vultures gather. So, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what happens when there's a blank time. Let's get to Josh from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hey, Josh, welcome to the show, man.
Matt, thanks for having me on today.
Sure. What do you got?
My question actually revolves around Matthew 13 as well, the passage you just read.
Mm, okay.
And my question is, could you just give some more clarity to the purpose of the parables in relation to Jesus always bringing up Isaiah 6? And just kind of help kind of give me some more clarity on that, what that means.
Well, the purpose of the parables is to illustrate a point within a cultural context. Usually it's to illustrate one main point. And so parables are designed to carry that single main message, but it often has sub-messages. And one of the reasons parables are given is so people will not be saved. And that's what Jesus says in Mark 4, 10 through 12. They ask him, why do you speak in parables? And he says, so people will not be forgiven. He actually says that. And a lot of people are surprised, but that's the main idea of parables is to convey a single idea. Okay, now I'm not sure what you mean by the connection with Isaiah 6, though.
Well, I guess in in Matthew 13, I guess in verse 14, it says, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Indeed, verse 14. Yeah.
You indeed hear, but never understand. And I believe that's coming from Isaiah 6.
Yeah. Now, he's speaking in the context of Matthew. He's speaking to the people, the Jews. And this is, he's in Israel speaking. And it's not generally the Gentiles who are listening. So it's the Jews who are there. And he's talking prophetically about how those people that time, they will hear, but they won't understand. They'll see, but they won't perceive. And it's a prophetic thing. He's quoting it about that people that time. Because he says, is being fulfilled, present tense, participle, present participle. So it means it's going on for his context right then and there, and it has to be before the religious leaders, the people of Israel.
Okay, so when Jesus is teaching these parables and people are listening to him, mm-hmm. is it the case that the parables were for his sheep, his believers to hear, and they would understand them, mm-hmm. whereas people who had not been given the ears couldn't understand them, and it made things more confusing? Is that correct?
That's what I conclude, just what you said. Because I'm going to read this to you here, what Jesus says in Mark 4, and then I'm going to go to where you are in Matthew 13 and read a little bit more. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of God, the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Like, whoa. So Jesus is speaking in parables, he says, so that they don't see, don't understand, and they won't be forgiven. People get upset when I read that to them. Well, that's what it says. That's what Jesus says. When we go to a parallel here, Matthew 13, starting at verse 10, and then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's just what he said in Mark 4:11. But back to Matthew 13. To you has been given to granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. This is a judgment statement against the religious leaders and the Jewish people. You want to hold a little bit more?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Before we get back to the caller, let me just remind you that CARM does need your financial support this summer. We are facing some financial obligations, and let's just say that what we're doing is offering three online schools at a significant discount. Normally they're $75, and through August 17th, you can get them for $49.95. That would be a great help for us. We're looking for enough people to sign up that would then, just help us meet our financial obligations. It's been an interesting summer, let's just say. It really has. To do that, all you got to do on your phone is just text to the number 5700-50700. Just text the word schools, and you'll be directed to the appropriate CARM webpage. Or you can just directly go to carm.org/schools, and you can help us out. We would really appreciate that. Again, that's on your phone. Just text 50700-50700. Type in the word schools. You'll be taken to a page, and you can sign up for those schools. All right, let's get back to Josh from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Josh, okay. Now, did I kind of help you there a little bit enough with some stuff?
Yeah, I guess all this kind of spawned from, I was reading John 8, and mm-hmm. I think in John 8, 46, 47, Jesus says, if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God.
Right.
And as Jesus is kind of saying when he's telling parables in different parts of the New Testament, he always, well, not always, but he'll say, he who has ears, let him hear. And then in this passage I just read, he says, you do not hear them because you are not of God. And I just was kind of looking for some clarity on what that was saying.
Well, the clarity is found in the doctrine of total depravity, which is the teaching that the person, anybody who is born with a nature that is enslaved to sin. That's Romans 6, 14 through 20. By nature, child of wrath, Ephesians 2, 3. Dead in his sins, Ephesians 2, 1. His heart's full of wicked deceit, Jeremiah 17, 9. He does not seek for God and can do no good, Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12. So since these are the conditions of the person in a natural state, then they cannot hear the words of God. So a lot of people don't understand that the biblical position is that God grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29, grants us repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25, works faith in us, John 6:38, 39, appoints us to eternal life, Acts 13:48, chooses us for salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and causes us to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3, and we're born again not of our own will, John 1:13. So in light of that, if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Well, the answer is because they're not able to believe because they're enslaved to sinfulness. Jesus then says, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you're not of God. In other words, they're not of the elect. They're not of the redeemed. They're not of the saved. And therefore, they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have their ears opened. They can't understand the truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Matt, I appreciate it. Once again, you knocked it out of the park for me, and thanks for your clarity. I appreciate it.
Well, praise God, man. Praise God. All right, that was Josh from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Let's get clear over to Jamal from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Jamal.
Hey, Matt. Glad to give you a call again. Just want to say that I appreciate your ministry, and I listen to you, I try to listen to you every day.
Okay, thanks.
Two questions. No problem. Two questions. One, one I kind of forgot about, but popped back in there, and it's been bugging me for a while. I wanted to see you to kind of help me come to some kind of resolution about this one. About stoning people when they sinned early on in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, you know, come to some kind of resolution about that one? Of course, whatever biblical answer, you know, I'll accept. And then the other one, how can we know that the story of Adam and Eve is true?
We know that the story of Adam and Eve is true is because Jesus and the apostles state that it's true, for one thing. And you can go to Romans 5:18, through one trespass. That's the trespass of Adam, the result of condemnation of all men. Paul clearly teaches that. And Romans 5:12, sin entered the world through one man. And so I'm looking for the word Adam in the Gospels to see if he said it or if Jesus said it in a cryptic way, because he does in Luke 11:51, I believe it is. He talks about the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, and what he's talking about there is the first last books of the Old Testament in the arrangement that they had at that time, and that of course includes the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve. And he speaks of, I don't know where the exact references are, I don't have memorized, of God's created order and God creating, and it's always assumed and based on the issue of the created order of Genesis. And also he speaks of Moses, and Moses is a validation of the books as well. But nevertheless, what was the other question, though? Oh, I asked, what was that? I'm trying to remember.
Sorry, the other question was,
oh, stoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what about it? Why they do it? What's the question about stoning?
And I don't remember it exactly. I have to kind of piecemeal it.
That's all right.
But I remember something about somebody being stoning. And then
Right.
That poster should be sewn because he sinned.
Right. I've looked it up. Luke 20:17. Now a man or woman who is a medium or a spiritualist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. In Leviticus 24:14.
Yeah.
Bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who hear him lay their hands on his head. Let all the congregation stone him. And there's other verses. Found lying with a married woman. If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die. The men who lay with the women and the women and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. Okay, so are you asking why? Is that right or wrong or what?
Yes. Yeah, why was that something that was, you know, commissioned? Why was that something that was allowed?
God allowed it and advocated it in order to keep the messianic line pure. One of the things that we've got to understand is Jesus says in Luke 24:39, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but it is these that bear witness of me. The Old Testament is ultimately about Jesus. For example, in Genesis chapter 5, you have a genealogy between Adam and Noah. Does Adam beget so-and-so, beget the son, beget it. You take the names, you put them into English, and you get a sentence. It's appointed to mortal men sorrow. The blessed God will come down. His death will bring to the despairing hope. So there's the gospel message there. And in the Garden of Adam and Eve, it was pre-incarnate Christ who walked with them and things like that. The enemy of the gospel, Satan, wants Israel to get so messed up spiritually and morally that they would therefore do things that would invalidate the messianic line. So God, in order to keep that messianic line pure, would have Israel wipe out a nation or two, and they were usually very bad people who were unrepentant about great sins, and God said, fine, go take them out, clear them out. And he would do that, but he would also, from inside the camp of Israel, those who would advance great sin, medium spiritism, but these are great sins because they open the congregation up to the occult. And with the occult, which I'll be speaking on in a couple of weeks in Washington, the occult brings all kinds of negative demonic forces. And this could also contribute to the demise of the Israeli nation through whom the Messiah was to come. So you'll also notice that these things are for the people of Israel to do. And it's for that nation, because that nation is in a covenant relationship with God. And the covenant has certain stipulations, certain requirements. And so they were obligated to follow the Lord. And if they were to vary from that, God would punish them. And he worked hard, God worked hard, he commanded the Israelites to purge these sinful practices from their own ranks, ultimately for the purpose of keeping the messianic line true. So when you read, for example, Leviticus 20, verse 27, this is a verse about you. But you understand what I mean when I say that. Now, a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones, or blood guiltless is upon them. How is that about you? It's about you in that what God is doing there is keeping the messianic line secure so the Messiah could be here so you could be saved.
Okay.
So the battle is for the history of the truth of the blood of Christ in the Old Testament. Okay?
All right,
Jamal. All right, Jamal, God bless. That was Jamal from Winston-Salem. Give me a call. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the lines here to Susan from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Susan, welcome.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the Moravian Church?
No, I'm not. No,
you're
I am not.
Not. Okay.
No.
Well, our history says that we are the oldest Protestant denomination of record since 1457. John Huss was a big well, his doctrine and what he believed is something that we immediately latched on to in Moravia, mm-hmm. in Germany, Herrnhut, Germany. But we have been in the United States for probably the 1700s.
Okay.
We're a small denomination, just over 800,000, but we're all over the United States.
Okay.
And mostly, I would say, known internationally for our mission work.
Well, okay. Can I ask you some questions?
Yes, please.
And I'll interview you. Let's find out. Do you affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, one God and three distinct simultaneous persons?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's strong doctrine in that.
Okay. Is Jesus Christ God in flesh with two distinct natures?
Yes.
Okay. Is Jesus a man right now?
Jesus is not in the flesh on earth, but the Holy Spirit dwells in us.
Okay, is Jesus a man right now?
No.
He is, okay. And you find out if the Moravian Church teaches that. It should. If it denies that he's a man right now, then it's a heretical group. But let's continue. So
okay.
is justification, the forgiveness of sins, being declared legally righteous, justification, by faith alone in Christ alone?
Yes.
Okay. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Water baptism?
No.
Okay. Can you lose your salvation?
No.
No? Wow, okay. I would think that you'd probably say yes, since you're Moravian and came out of Germany, out of Luther's movement, which teaches you can. But, well, you know, I'm just checking. Sounds
yeah,
okay.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Something that's really on my heart and many people in my denomination's mm-hmm. heart right now, the Northern Province, around 2010, their Synod up there voted to allow practicing homosexuals to be ministers in the church.
In the Moravian Church?
And also, yes. And
okay, then they've gone heretical then. They've gone apostate.
Yes, they did. And mm-hmm. our Synod in the Southern Province, we started what we called talks and discussions about the same.
Mm-hmm.
About 2012. And
okay.
then April of a year ago, our
right.
Southern Province
okay.
voted. It was 64% of the attendees at the Synod.
That's it?
64% to allow that. But with that, they also put a statement that if your current pastor and your board did not want to allow that, that is up to each church.
Wow.
Well,
so hold it. So
of the brethren.
So wait, I'm trying to understand. So the southern part, 64% voted, or the northern part, 64%?
No, I don't know what the percentage was.
No. Which one was it? The 64%, is that from the northern or from the southern?
The southern province.
So the southern province. Okay, so the southern province said 64%. Voted that you could make up your own mind about homosexuality? Is that what they were implying?
That each church could, under the umbrella
okay.
of the Southern
okay.
province,
so,
they
okay.
allowed.
Okay. That means that 64% is a sign of apostasy in the Southern Church as well. The Southern Moravian. It shouldn't be 64%. It shouldn't be 1%. It should be 0%. Homosexuality is a sin. Period.
Yes.
And if 64% said you can make up your own mind about it, then 64% don't believe the Word of God.
Well, see, now the people who voted on that, a synod, each church sends
I understand.
Four delegates.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
and
64%,
oh, well.
And yeah, it's a synod.
Okay.
I know what a synod is. So,
yeah,
I would say that your southern group is growing apostate. And do they have women pastors? Women elders?
Yes. We do.
There you go.
Yes.
There's more signs of apostasy.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Now, our pastor at the Senate, he stood up and he said, I will not vote in favor of this. I cannot
Good.
Condone this. And I will not vote
condone what? Women pastors and elders or the homosexual thing?
No, the allowing of the practicing homosexuals
okay.
to be in the leadership.
So good. Now, does your pastor also affirm women pastors and elders, though?
Yes, right.
Okay, I would suggest that you tell him, recommend to him, that he go to CARM and read up on the articles dealing with women pastors and elders and requirements of eldership. This is strictly male. This is biblical revelation. Paul is given to the instruction of the church. one of the signs of apostasy in the Christian church, denominationally speaking, one of the first signs towards the front is adopting women pastors and elders. And then 80% within two generations of the denominations and groups and churches, 80% of them then start affirming homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, you have to understand that this is not a bigoted thing. This is not a chauvinistic thing. It's not a sexist thing. It is a biblical thing.
Biblical, yes.
It's biblical.
Yes.
And now, if anybody who teaches that women pastors and elders are okay is simply wrong. The scriptures teach against it. And I've written many articles and debated it many times. So your pastor needs to repent of that. And he needs to come into further orthodoxy. And he's in a drowning denomination. But anyway, go ahead. One more thing, then we got other callers.
Yeah, the big concern my husband and I have is, although the week after that vote, our pastor and our board crafted a paragraph that said that it will not be allowed in the pulpit or on the board. There will not be ceremonies that celebrate those unions.
Good.
And so, although
good,
my church is against that, the umbrella of my name, of my denomination,
right,
you know, people, you know, I don't want to say that I am that denomination because we've allowed this, so it makes me feel
right. I understand. I do, and you got my sympathy. It's like the United Methodist Church. Your group will probably go the same way that the United Methodist Church goes, which is women pastors and elders, pro-homosexuality. The Bible may or may not be inspired and true. It usually just follows a progression of degradation. And you can go to 1 Timothy 4.
Did their vote in February come out and say they're
well,
not?
Well, I don't want to. We got called away. I'm just saying that your group's going bad. Sorry, but it is. It is. I hate to laugh about it, but it's just going south.
Go.
Yeah. All right. So talk to your pastor. Have him call me. We'll talk. I mean, I'm nice. I'll just, this is what it says. This is why, you know. And have him stand on the word of truth instead of the wind of doctrine. Okay?
Right. Right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks so much, Matt.
Okay. Well, God bless. All right. Let's get to David from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Buddy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good job answering that last one.
Well, thank you. So what do you got?
Yeah, most things we agree on. Here's something we don't, and we've talked before. And I've got a new verse to run by you.
Okay.
On limited atonement, you know, where it says all and everybody, you've questioned what does all really mean?
Only in context.
Here's a pretty cool verse for you. It's Romans 5:18, I believe it is.
5:18?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's one of my most studied verses in the entire Bible, Romans 5:18.
Well, I don't doubt it. Rev, let's see what your version says about it.
What the Bible says about it in the literal Greek is through one transgression, condemnation to all men, so also through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. That's what the literal Greek is. It's two verses or two sentences joined by a conjunction, and in both of those sentences there's a verb in neither place, so a verb has to be implied, and the so also is the second part of the verse, and so also means it's in like manner of the first verse. So the first verse, when you imply a verb into it, has to be brought down into the second part of the verse. So that as through one transgression, that's Adam's sin. So let me ask you a question. One transgression, did it result in condemnation to everybody? Or did it, or what? What happened when Adam sinned? Did everyone sin? Or is everyone condemned?
Everyone had a sin nature by birth through the male.
Great. So would you say then that as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men?
Apparently so.
Good, because that's the NASB version.
Let's get back to what I wanted to ask you for a second.
So, let me finish. So, it says, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Justification means they're saved. To all men.
No, it means salvation is available.
No, it does not. It says resulted in justification. It doesn't say it was made available. I mean, that's the whatever version you want to go by. What does it actually say?
Most of my read, I don't know which one you're reading, but
I can read the Greek. I'm serious. You don't understand. I've taught on this verse hundreds of times. I've been studying it off and on for 25 years.
Okay, so you're calling the Bible a liar if you're saying it says everybody's going to be saved and everybody's not saved.
Okay, so I just hung up on the guy. And I'm going to tell him and anybody else, you want to have a discussion, you want to have a disagreement with me, that's fine. But if you start saying, Matt, you're calling the Bible a liar, then you're not welcome on my show. You start saying stuff like that and start talking like that, you're becoming accusatory and abusive, and I'm not going to permit that. I would never stand for that kind of a statement because it's simply not true. This gentleman, unfortunately, did not keep quiet enough to understand what the text is actually saying. It says there resulted justification of life to all men. Justification is it means you're declared legally righteous before God. It doesn't mean it has a potential, as he erringly tried to change the text in order to make it fit his theology. But we know that not all people go to heaven. Matthew 25:46, for example, people go to hell. Revelation 4:10. We know that's the case. So then who's the all in that verse? The all can only be the elect. And for parallel verses, you can go to 1 Corinthians 15:22 and 2 Corinthians 5:14. Like I said, I've taught on this verse for decades. I know this verse in the context very well. Now, if he wants to call back, he cannot accuse me of anything like that again. That won't work. Let's get to Kathleen from Eagle, Idaho. Not too far. I go fishing in Eagle. I do. I go up there regularly.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. I'm right there.
So, Matt, the reason I'm calling is because I'm sure you know about the LDS. They've set up that big tabernacle there, or they're going to set it up. They're giving out tickets now at the Cency Commons. Have you seen that, their big ad?
No. Well, they just released one last year, the temple there on whatever it is, south of State.
No. So what this is, it's a full-scale replica of the Tabernacle of Moses.
Yeah.
So it's a tent.
I heard about that.
And it's going to be open for like 10 days. But they claim they're going to have, there's only 10 of these in the world. And it closely follows the scriptural blueprints, including its three main sections.
Okay.
And the exhibit has representation of the sacred objects. Anyway, you know, I love the Old Testament, and I just find it so fascinating. And if this were legit, I'd love to see it. But I know what you're going to say, but I'm curious. What do you think what kind of a spin are they going to have on it? Or how
I don't know.
Legit would they
but
be?
I want to go because it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah,
for
I do
me.
Too.
Could you just go to Carm and just email me, you know, info@carm.org, and give me your contact info and stuff. Maybe we'll get together and we'll go down and check it out.
But I actually, listen, you actually called me a couple weeks ago because I'm a supporter, and you called to thank me, which was a very nice touch. So I got your office number so I can just kind of call you and let you know the info.
We don't always get the office phone in time, so if you could, just email me, that'd be good. I'll be watching for it, and if I don't return your email by Saturday, just call up again or book me or something like that. But we got to check it out.
Okay.
Check this out.
Yeah, they have.